Hello and welcome back to the Checkpoint Reach podcast. I'm your host, Luke Elden. Today I'm joined by Sud as always, and we're also joined by a special guest, Twitch streamer Jerbear.
Hey guys, Jerbear. How's it
going? Jerbear. I've literally just said this.
Yeah, you did it. We've done it.
I've already got it wrong.
Here comes that tweet.
Yeah, you're going to come after me. But how you doing, mate? Thanks for joining us.
Dude, I am doing so well. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
Happy to have you on, man. It's always good to discuss gaming, and I will put Jerbear's links all in the description below, so definitely go and check them out. And
all 20 of them.
Yeah, exactly. And we're gonna get started just by having a little quick chat before we jump into the gaming news from the past week. Just a little chat about next gen consoles, because as things stand, me and Sud have had our Xbox Series S for over a week now.
It was the 10th, wasn't it?
Wow, that's gone quick. And then today we got our PS5s, so you've had a chance to have a go and you're wearing your colours.
Not too long, but I've not really played. I played Astro's Playroom, which is the game that's like built into it. While I was in the middle of installing some of the games now, actually. I gotta say, it's huge. The console is huge and massive. Like, you don't realize how massive. Big it is until you I mean, you can look at. I sent you a picture, didn't I? And it's like, it looks bigger than that. But once you, I'm just looking at it now, it's. I have a 40-inch television, which isn't a massive television, but it's a decent size, and it's nearly as tall as a 40-inch television, which is. I mean, it's crazy. It must be. It's definitely the biggest launch console I've ever had, but without a doubt. I mean. You know, I remember the Xbox One was pretty big, wasn't it? The VCR.
I'd like to stack it up against the OG Xbox I had. That felt
the
big.
Yeah, that was big. That was a big console. Yeah. But this is massive. This is especially tall. Like tall in terms of height, it's huge. So. But like, I mean, it was fairly easy to set up. I had to go on YouTube for one thing that I couldn't figure out. But apart from that, yeah, pretty easy to set up. I mean, I've just been going around the UI. Really, it looks great though. The UI looks great.
Like, yeah.
I love how like it's in 4K HDR, which it actually isn't on the Xbox. It's only in 1080p. So you do notice the difference when you plug the. It's like, wow, yeah, it kind of pops on the television.
Controller so far.
I love it. I was saying to you, wasn't I, before? That's the one thing about the whole console. I'm like, wow, this is a massive step up.
Yeah.
From the DualShock 4. The DualShock 4, it's not a terrible controller, but when you compare it to the Xbox One controller, it's just it's not as good. But this definitely. This controller rivals, and I actually think maybe betters the Xbox One controller in some ways. Now, I still prefer the layout of the Xbox One controller, the offset sticks. And I kind of wish Sony would do a control, official controller like that, but apart from the offset sticks, I think everything about this Sony controller is great. The touchpad's really good. I mean, the touchpad touchpad's kind of similar to the PS4, but I like the features it's got on it. The haptic triggers are great.
Yeah.
The haptic triggers are really good.
Can I just quickly say, you talking through this the way you are, the way you sat with your mic and your PlayStation t-shirt on, you look like I've literally brought on a PlayStation official to chat through.
I mean, I'm coming to shill for Sony. That's definitely not like, I've criticized all of them, but
I am really impressed
with it so far. I mean, obviously, I've not had a chance to play. I've got obviously Miles Morales, which I want to try, and I've got Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which I'm really looking forward to as well. But yeah, playing Astro's Playroom, I definitely recommend, Luke, that you give that a go when you download another game, because it's definitely worth giving it a shot, because it's actually a good game.
Yeah, it's cool. Probably something I'll try out, and I know the
controller. It's cool just to test the controller.
It's basically a showcase piece for the controller, a lot we're saying. But Joe, you're looking to get a PlayStation 5 as well. We were talking off, obviously off the podcast. Is that something that you're excited about then, from what you've heard so far?
Oh yeah. So obviously, I think it's pretty safe to say that most of the people that are getting a PlayStation 5 so early are primarily because of the launch day titles. And I've got to say, I think this is probably some of the best launch day titles that we've had in a very long time. I can't really think of anything aside from maybe Melee, Super Smash Brothers Melee, that we've had that was just that level of greatness.
Yeah.
But you have Demon Souls, you have Spider-Man, maybe to an extent, Astro, Sackboy. I mean, just really, really great games. And I think there's really no better reason to jump into a PlayStation console right off launch.
But you make a good point, actually, because when I compare this to the Xbox One launch day, because obviously that was the one we got sud back in the day, last generation now. What did we have, really? Rise, Son of Rome?
Yeah, Rise, Son of Rome, Dead Rising 3, which I didn't mind Dead Rising 3, but, you know, Rise was pretty average.
I didn't like either, really.
Yeah, and you had some
Battlefield 4.
Battlefield 4, that didn't even work.
We tried it online and it just didn't work for a good week.
It was kind of rough.
It was very rough, yeah.
There was a Call of Duty game, which you get, obviously, with every console console launch now. but yeah, there wasn't that much, really. So I definitely agree. I agree with you there, Jer. I think there's definitely... This is definitely one of the better launch lineups. Absolutely. I think, you know, having just Spider-Man on there makes it, you know, Miles Morales, just that automatically makes it.
My favorite game from the last gen? Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man, yeah, on PS4. So,
it was really good.
Yeah, I loved it, man.
And even though I haven't picked it up yet, I've got to say, each time I see Demon's Souls, it makes me want it more and more. It looks so good. Like,
yeah.
I mean, go
ahead.
No, I was going to say, even though I'm not good at them, I'm a fan of the genre, the Souls game, so.
I actually, I wanted to say it was earlier last year. No, earlier this year. I finally got a chance to play Demon's Souls for the first time.
Yeah.
I happened to work at GameStop at the beginning of this year, and I purchased it before I left, which was perfect timing because the C virus, what we'll call it. was about to roll through, so it couldn't have been more perfect timing, but I finally played it after having played so many of the Dark Souls games, and I'm very interested to see how it stacks up, but I'm pretty sure it's, you know, a non sequitur how great it is in comparison. I mean, you're talking almost 10 years of advancement, so
yeah, definitely. And to be fair, I mean, Bluepoint, you know, they've proven themselves now with remakes. So.
Yeah, they got a good reputation, haven't they?
Yeah. So I've got no doubts that it'd be great. I mean, I know you shouldn't just go off how the game looks, but just the way that game looks makes me want to play it.
It's hard not to look at any game this generation and not go, you know, just off the looks, I might get it.
Yeah. No, you make a good point, man. I know a lot of people will say, oh, looks don't matter, but at the end of the day, they do draw you in enough. But they're so good now that you would notice if the looks were bad. I think it's got to that point now where if the graphics were bad, that you might be off put a little bit because you're like, whoa, what's this? This is different to what I'm used to seeing.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
So, I mean, I think a lot of people have different values as far as like what makes a graphic look good as opposed to what doesn't. I mean, you can make Minecraft look fantastic if you have ray tracing on it.
True.
So, I mean... But with the PlayStation now and Xbox now, we're slowly crossing that barrier of reality, and I think it's probably the most special time because this is the point where we either don't go any further or we just make that little 10% push.
Yeah. You make a good point.
And you know the point you make about the ray tracing as well. That's the one thing I want to check out on Miles Morales because I know that it's meant to be really good on that. And what I like about the PlayStation, it seems like with a lot of their games, they're doing like the a lot of options where you can choose like the performance mode or, you know, the frame rate mode, which I like because it's like that's options, isn't it? You know, whichever one you prefer. Even though like I want the improvement in frames, with a new console, especially, I kind of want that fidelity mode because it's like that shows off the console straight away. So I think I'm going to probably play Miles Morales with ray tracing on, even though it drops the, you know, it drops the frame rate a bit, but I just want to see it in its full sort of graphical glory.
God,
so.
I was just thinking with the way the hardwares are going and stuff, David Cage's next game is literally just going to be a film.
Yes.
It's not even going to be a game.
We already have borderline films as games now, if you think of Quantic Dream, the studio with like Detroit or even though it was nowhere near as good, Beyond Two Souls. Okay, yes.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure I had the name correct, but yeah. And I mean, Heavy Rain, even to an extent, even though it's obviously aged
Yeah, if they were say well.
If they were to say remake that game, and honestly, I've kind of had my fill of remakes once they push maybe like Resident Evil 4 and the rest of Final Fantasy 7 out. Kind of ready to let's just work on some new stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that is something we completely agree with. Yeah, when it comes to remakes and remasters, me and Sud a little tired. Obviously, depends they will bring out the gems that we are interested in because nostalgia and stuff, but there's been so many, it feels like, over the past, like, what, 5 to 10 years?
It's been a lot. Ugh. Yeah, I kind of want to see an end to the unnecessary ones. I think we discussed this on another podcast maybe a couple of weeks ago, saying about the example I always bring up is they did a remaster, it wasn't very good, of Red Faction Guerrilla, and it was just like, come on, this is... I don't want to be seeing things like that anymore because it's not even a remaster, really. They've rezzed it a little bit, but you know, I want to see, you know, because at the end of the day, there's a big difference between remasters and remakes, isn't there? We've always said that. Like, Demon's Souls is a remake. You can tell it's been made. You know, it just looks amazing. It looks like a new game, even though it's not technically. I don't mind, and like, but there is exceptions, like the Mass Effect. You know,
yeah, that's really,
you know, we're massive Mass Effect fans, so we'll kind of accept in that case if it's just a remaster because. We just look
where your biases lie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It is where our biases lie.
But, you know, for franchises we're not as interested in, no, I've not got too much time for these sort of up-res, sort of half-baked remasters. But, yeah, and like you said, I'm also, I agree, I am looking forward to seeing what they can do with Resident Evil 4. Because, you know, it's a really good game. But
I mean, I couldn't argue that point. Even if I wanted to, I have 3 different copies of Dark Souls. I had 3 different copies of Final Fantasy X. I couldn't say anything if I wanted to.
Yeah. Well, one thing I do agree with you on, though, I am hungry for some new IPs, so let's hope this generation
provides. It's just so interesting to see like all this new life come in. I mean, it's nice to get games like Resident Evil 2. Don't get me wrong, the remake of Resident Evil 2 is easily one of my favorite horror games now, but I'm super interested in seeing games like Scorn. Mm-hmm. It just looks so interesting.
Yeah, that was the one that the Xbox showcase, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah, the first showcase.
Is that the one that looked a little bit like Alien?
Yeah, yes. It looked a bit weird. it looked interesting. It definitely looked strange. I was like, oh, that's a bit strange. But yeah, I mean, like you said, obviously there's the medium as well. It's coming to Game Pass, isn't it? I think at some point. I don't know if it's this year or next year. I'm not sure. But
that looked interesting.
That's
as well.
Another one that looked pretty interesting. So yeah, I think... I mean, apart from like Resident Evil stuff, it's good to get these sort of like more indie style horror games, I guess you would say. Even though I say indie loosely because, you know, a lot of these games now, they look great. So,
yeah. I mean, it's just technology. I mean, the gap between what makes an indie project and what makes a AAA project is slowly starting to shrink. You see it with projects like Hollow Knight, which was made by, I think, like 6 people. I mean, 2 main people. And you put that up something against like Battletoads, which I'm pretty confident has at least $3 million worth of a budget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think Hollow Knight was made for $35,000.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's fair to say Hollow Knight's a much better game than Battletoads, which is crazy, really.
It's sad to say, but you're absolutely correct. It's that baby-eyed vision that drove that game to where it is, and you know.
To be honest, I'm speaking from a bit of ignorance because I've played a little bit of Hollow Knight. I haven't played any of Battletoads, but I can tell that Hollow Knight's a better game just from So, but yeah, no, you're right, and I don't know. I just think. This generation in general, like you're going to see a lot of, I think you're going to see quite a lot of indie games that push the boundaries, you know? Because, even this generation, like, we've played some, haven't we? Especially on Game Pass, we're like, wow, this is great. And it's like, you wouldn't expect it sometimes.
And that's why I do love Game Pass, because a lot of the games I probably would have missed, to be fair. But just touching on Game Pass, then we should quickly discuss the Xbox Series S. Both got that, both enjoying it. As of this moment in time, I must say for me, I am really liking it because I had the day one Xbox One. So obviously I didn't get a mid-gen upgrade. So jump into this console, man. It's like night and day. It's so good for me. And it is going to be a Game Pass machine, as like you spoke about off the podcast as well. And I'm probably going to use my PS5 for more of the single player elements, I think. Yeah. Stick with the Xbox Series S on the multiplayer side. But it's... at the moment, no complaints, but there's no real games that are new to test it with. Yeah, but
I think, well, we discussed this, and I know for you, Luke, it wouldn't matter too much because I know you're not a big Halo fan, but to me, I think that's a big gap. There's no Halo on the launch of the console. I think that, and obviously we've talked about the reasons why it got delayed and things like that, and there's a lot of, I mean, look how the game looked. I mean, there's clearly a lot of problems with that game. But I do think that's a massive hole for Xbox. I think if Halo would have been there at launch, it would have been a really good start for Xbox, I think. I mean, it could still be a good start. I'm sure they're pretty happy with their sales and stuff. I think it was announced, wasn't it? They broke their record, I think, the other day. So
don't they say every generation?
It seems like they use different metrics, don't they, to like figure out how it's the biggest one.
But, yeah.
No, you know, I've enjoyed my time with the S. I think it's, for the price, I've got to say, for the price, it is very, very good. Very good. Mm-hmm. I know in the UK, £250, I think $299 in the US. So fantastic for that price. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a great budget option as well.
If you're not bothered about getting the latest and greatest in terms of technology, you know, in terms of how it looks anyway, I mean, you know, the S is a great machine because it's still, I don't know, I still think games look really good on it, on my TV anyway. You know, I've tried.
No complaints, yeah.
Gears Tactics looks great. That's a really fun game as well. I've tried a few of the back compat games. They run really well.
OG Gears, because we've obviously been playing through that.
Yeah, we've been doing, you know, original Gears, which, to be fair, you know, you can definitely tell a slight difference, can't you? Not a massive difference, but it just feels a bit better, doesn't it?
Yeah, runs a lot more smoothly, expect, really.
I was going to ask you, Luke, have you noticed any differences with Warzone? Because I know you play Warzone quite a bit.
Well, the biggest difference I've had is now, I think it's 60 FPS, so...
Mm.
I mean, that's night and day for me, and having this console, it does run a lot better. And obviously, I don't know, I feel like I've improved a little bit with my shooting on it because of the FPS. Now, that is a contentious spot because I know a lot of people argue about that, because resolution doesn't play as big as, but FPS, I think, does have a little bit of an impact.
Definitely does.
It's definitely helped me there. I mean, we are talking about me not being very good to me being... Eh. So it's like, it's not a massive jump, but how about you, Joe? You been intrigued by any of the Xbox consoles, or you just not interested?
Honestly, kind of, it's hard for me to talk about Game Pass. Whenever I hear Game Pass, my brain starts to sizzle a little bit because we don't have something just as good on PlayStation. I mean, definitely. You can make the argument about PlayStation now, but honestly, I just don't think it's anywhere near as compatible with anything but PlayStation. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Game Pass, you can play it on your computer as well, which is definitely what I would do.
Yeah.
PlayStation now runs like garbage on, I hate to say, love PlayStation, but it runs like garbage on computers.
I'll tell you what, it doesn't run great on the PlayStation itself, to be honest with you. I mean, mind the PCs, it doesn't even run, you know. I mean, I think, to be fair, they have definitely... It's better than it was. It is better than it was in terms of what's in it. There's actually a lot of games in it now, but, you know, the big difference for me with Game Pass and PlayStation now is you don't get the day one... You don't get the God of Wars day one, or, you know, which would be amazing. Sony would really be onto something if they could get it. However, they would obviously lose that sort of... You know, they'd lose maybe their sales on the games, which they obviously prioritize. So I guess it is kind of a 50-50 coin flip, whether it'd be better or not for Sony.
I think that's probably one of Xbox's greatest things, is having their first-party titles on Game Pass. So you have that option. Do you want to just buy it outright, or do you just want to play it on Game Pass? And I mean, now that Bethesda is part of Xbox, having Starfield and Elder Scrolls 6 on there,
yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing when you think about it, for value for money as well.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I would probably purchase Elder Scrolls 6 either way. I heavily doubt that Bethesda would be so brazen as to just make it first party exclusive and that's just it.
Mm-hmm.
I heavily doubt they're going to do that. I mean, it's Elder Scrolls. If they did, it's whatever. But I don't think they would be willing to run away from that.
I mean, we could have an entire podcast on that, because it's so, like, I keep hearing, I keep seeing different things when I look on Twitter and everything. Like, some people say, like, it seems to split. Like, sometimes it's more heavily in, they are going to keep it exclusive. But then I've seen things recently where a few comments from different executives where it's like, maybe they are going to release them on PlayStation. So, I don't know. I think it's still up in the air at the minute. We just don't know.
They could definitely swing either way, but I really, really doubt it. I'd almost be willing to put money on it.
They'd be losing a lot of money. if they do keep it exclusive to Game Pass, that's for sure. Because I mean, you have Elder Scrolls, you know.
Yeah, you have to think the last major thing that they did was 76, Fallout 76.
And that was horrendous.
They really, really, I mean, because if that's the last thing they keep on PlayStation for years and years at a time. Yeah, I guess that's not technically fair. You do have Doom Eternal. Let's just say, like, strictly Bethesda, because that is technically its software.
Yeah.
If the last thing that you see from Bethesda is Fallout 76, and then you see something a few years later, you might not pick it up. You might not be as familiar with Elder Scrolls as someone who, played Skyrim or Oblivion or Morrowind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it would be a very, very bad idea to do that. Starfield, maybe. Elder Scrolls, no.
It certainly would. It wouldn't leave a good impression, lasting impression, would it, having the last proper game sort of from Bethesda? Being,
if you could call it proper.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I mean, that's a good point.
Yeah,
but I will quickly just say quickly. One good thing about this is the PlayStation. Is it the PlayStation Plus collection? You get 20 of the most popular games on PlayStation free, which is I think it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. For someone who's hopping onto PlayStation 5 for the first time, they haven't owned a PlayStation in say maybe a generation or two. I definitely think it's a great idea.
Yeah,
being a PlayStation 4 owner now, I have the majority of the games.
Yeah,
nice to play the few games that are on there that I haven't given a shot.
I've got to say, when I looked at it, I was like, I've played most of these. I mean, there's a couple where I was like, maybe I'd give that a go, but I have played the majority of them. So it's, but you know, if you're someone that's just jumped in from Xbox or haven't played, you know, that's good because it's mostly good exclusives. So.
Yeah, or even me, who's jumping from obviously a disc-owned PS4 to all digital
PS5.
Yeah,
how you feel about that? It's a lot riding on that.
There is
terrifying for me, honestly. I couldn't make that.
No, I'm the same. I got the disc. I couldn't do this.
I've gone in hard, I guess, this generation because I've got both all digital consoles.
Yeah, the X is digital, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm banking on that being a thing. And the only problem is obviously going to be the price of buying games. So I'll probably buy less games as a result. But other than that, I'm not too fussed. Not too concerned. It doesn't bother me that much.
I don't know what it's like in the US right now with digital to physical, but in the UK there is a big disparity between the price of digital compared to, I mean, physical is a lot cheaper than digital.
That's a really good question. I think for a lot of the people that play PlayStation in America, they typically have played PlayStation for more than a generation. I don't think they're ready to give up playing on their disc. I'm certainly not. I have at least like 50 disc PlayStation games, so
same. I've got a lot of games, you know, that I don't want to get, you know, I want to play them again. There's a lot of games I want to try on this new console, you know, with the faster loading times and things like that. So, and you know, some of the games are getting updated, aren't they? I think like Borderlands 3 and Days Gone and games like that. So it's like, you know, if they're getting updated to run really well, then I don't want to get rid of them. So, and you know, like you said, I mean, just, I know maybe a bit different for you, Luke, but for me, I think I do get annoyed by the in this country anyway. I know I can only speak for the UK, that the digital prices are, you know, you're talking
40 to £70, aren't you, most?
Maybe not this gen, because obviously games are going to
go up,
but you're talking like you can probably find a game physically for £50 to £55, new PS5 game, whereas the 70 digitally,
mate,
£70.
I can't remember though the last time I ever bought a new disc game. I'd always buy secondhand. Or traded in, whatever, because it was just a cheaper option. Whereas now, obviously, I'm going all digital. But so you could find it even cheaper than 50, man.
Probably. If you're someone that trades in a lot, you're gonna, you know, if you go to game in this country or GameStop, and you know, if you trade in a lot, then you are gonna you know, save a bit of money there. So that's another advantage of physical.
That is something I'd say is a miss, but I don't remember the last time I did it. That's why I just went all digital with this generation. Yeah. I think I was already making the switch subliminally without even realizing, you know. So, I went all in. But we should talk about, well, that ended up being quite a good debate, actually. So that's ended up being basically our first topic of the show, of the podcast today. So let's go on now to what has been moved down to topic number two, which would definitely obviously impact you, Joe, because you stream a lot on Twitch. It's Twitch streamers are getting DMCA strikes for in-game sound effects. Twitch users have recently taken to social media to reveal that content had been muted, deleted, or even had their accounts banned entirely for in-game sound effects, such as clock chimes, police sirens, wind noise as well, according to some DMCA violations. Like, this is crazy. What are Twitch What's going on? Twitch have to stand up surely for their content creators. It's what made their platform what it is.
All right. So fortunately, I'm mostly an art and animation streamer. I really only stream games like once a day, once a week. So it's not a problem that I would necessarily have to run into as much as, say, I would probably go 80-90% of the rest of Twitch.
Yeah.
Mm. But taking it into a more general stance as far as like music, there's just a lot of stuff going on with Twitch right now. It's really hard to defend them. It's interesting that you brought up, why isn't Twitch doing anything that's been helping the creators a little bit. A lot of the stuff that I've been seeing just seems very YouTube-esque to me. Just back during the apocalypse when things were just ramping up. A lot of this just screams to me like we're trying to cover ourselves. If you want to remain on the platform or you want to continue making money, I heavily suggest that you start falling in line because we're trying to do that.
Yeah.
It's really what it screams to me. I mean, it is getting really out of hand with the sound effects, because that should be covered under the video games. I've seen a bunch of people talking about the EULA, I believe they're called, the EULA.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
No pronunciation for that. I don't. It doesn't matter. About how maybe certain things aren't being covered under that. There's just something really weird about that. Not to mention the fact that just out of nowhere, as all this other music stuff starting to happen. And I mean, it's not even really just happening on Twitch. It's also happening on YouTube. I used to upload a lot of my archives to YouTube.
Yeah.
And I used a lot of Starbomb music. I'm not sure if either of you are familiar with that.
I'm not.
Either way, it was a group that had at one point said, hey, it's perfectly fine if you guys use our stuff. Just make sure you credit us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they had at one point retracted that. But I ended up getting a lot of, not takedowns, obviously, because as so many archives, my channel would just be gone. But a lot of notices about it. So I just removed every single archive that I had in case they did decide to go the strike route.
Yeah.
I think there's just something very interesting and terrifying going on with the music industry right now. And we are discovering how important streaming and video content is for the internet as a whole right now. And I think rather than accepting it and celebrating it, they're going probably the wrong way about it. I would say this is a significantly greedier take than what they probably should be doing it, which I feel is embracing it and trying to strike deals. I'll mention some more of this. I actually wrote some notes down for this. But if I were in the shoes of some of these record labels for these artists, I probably would be trying to strike a deal with Twitch to make Twitch more money, make the streamer more money, make ourselves some more money.
Yeah. Well, essentially, a lot of it is free advertisement anyway.
Yeah.
For the artists, for the games. I mean, look how many... I mean, I think Among Us is a great example of a game that has benefited a lot off streamers because that look how big that is now. I think that was like 3 years old anyway before someone started playing it during lockdown. And it's just... gone well. I mean, most people I speak to who aren't even gamers are like, yeah, I've played Among Us, got on my phone, blah blah. I just
at
feel
least a 2 year old game, but just because streamers are playing it right now.
Yeah,
I mean, Minecraft has made a resurgence because of YouTube content creators and streamers. Apex Legends, Ninja playing it? It's just streaming and content creation has taken up so much of the stratosphere that is the internet. Why you would try to fight that, I don't understand.
I feel like some companies or like some in the industry have finally started noticing, streaming, that's pretty big. Oh, wait there. That's another revenue source for us. Not that we particularly need it, but hey, that's ours. We want to, like you mentioned, greed. We want some of that. We want that. Sorry.
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
Wrong way about it.
It's hard to even put into words how ridiculous this is, to be honest. I mean, you're talking about, they say gusts of wind in World of Warcraft, police sirens in Persona 5, bird and insect noises in Hitman Blood Money. I mean, how are you supposed to...
I read that and I was like, wow. It's kind of...
Can I just say, I mean, I know, I'm not sure if you've played it, yet, but I know you haven't, Luke, but trying to play Persona 5 without sound is impossible.
Yeah.
You can't play Persona 5 without sound. I mean, when I say that, I mean, you wouldn't, if you're trying to stream that game, there'd be no point anyone watching it without, you know, the sound on. And I know maybe they can say, oh, you can mute it for like a second while that noise. That's impossible, isn't it, to be able to regulate, really.
I think Persona is a fantastic game on its own. If you were to sap all of the sound from Persona, it's just... I think you would maybe still have like a 7 or 6.
Hmm.
The music.
Music's fantastic.
It's makes Persona 5 Persona 5.
I mean, I just don't think the game would be the same. Like,
no.
I agree. No, I think the actual gameplay, you know, you could technically play with all the sound off and maybe have a, like, it'd be like, oh, this is still pretty good. But why would you want to do that for a start off? And, you know, I also
think taking Disney out of Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, I know. It's like, it wouldn't, you may as well not have Kingdom
Hearts. It's like, you could do it. It just doesn't, I mean.
It's not Kingdom Hearts, is it?
Yeah, it's not the same.
No.
You know, I mean, even though I'm not a fan of Kingdom Hearts, I can understand that that would be ridiculous. So, you know, I just don't get it. I mean, another game I think of is like Resident Evil 7. How many different noises is there in that when you're playing it? I mean, there's grandfather clocks in that game as well. I mean, there's all sorts of noises. I mean,
the music to Persona 5 is Jack Baker to Resident Evil 7.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like, I don't know. I don't even understand how this is like, I mean, it's not being accepted, is it? That's the point. But I mean, I don't understand how this isn't being even more widely sort of condemned.
The problem is, though, mate,
Twitch have so much
power, it might not be accepted by people complaining, as in content creators, but that doesn't mean that Twitch are going to fall on the side of content creators and Jura touched on, and try and strike a deal so that this doesn't affect content creators.
I guess it just goes to show how much power Twitch have in this space. I mean, they are pretty much...
It's not even just Twitch with that. I mean, you've got to think, Twitch is massive. As far as content creation, Twitch is massive. Who owns Twitch?
Yeah, Amazon. Jeff Bezos.
Amazon.
Yeah, I thought so.
Which I'm pretty confident if I looked up the most valuable companies in the world right now. Amazon is
the richest man, isn't he?
At minimum, top 5.
Yeah.
At minimum.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I mean, it's like that's like competing with McDonald's, which has been around for 100 years, pumping, going constantly.
See, the thing is, right? They are massive. Twitch and Amazon are, you know, clearly one of the biggest companies in the world, and they will be for a long time to come, I'm sure. But you know, this could backfire on them if they're not careful. Because I mean, we've seen it before with Mixer. Mixer tried, didn't they? They tried to get some of the Twitch, and it failed clearly because Microsoft pulled the plug. You know, so clearly it wasn't work. They even got Ninja and all sorts of Shroud. Was it Shroud?
Shroud
on the platform.
Shroud,
and it just didn't work. Ninja.
Yeah,
it just didn't work for them, did it? Clearly, it didn't work. So, you know, even all the money they put behind that. But having said that, you know, someone will come along one day and create a rival platform, and slowly but surely it'll build up, and people will leave Twitch eventually if they keep doing these. You know, they're draconian measures.
Well,
they are really draconian.
One of the biggest problems with this is, though, it's a lot of source of income is people's jobs to be content creators on Twitch at the moment, and they're losing revenue from this. And Twitch doesn't even have an option to say, like, oh, by the way, this has been flagged. Why don't you just go in, quickly mute that little bit so you're right? No, you have to delete the whole thing. There is no, little
sometimes
edit button.
It doesn't even save you. Like, you may still get the DMCA.
Exactly.
And I know you say it's not just Twitch, and it's not, because obviously, I mean, you look at YouTube with the ads. I mean, it's sometimes you go on a 10-minute video and there's like 15 ads. It's like, how is this allowed? How has this even been? I don't know. It just, and sometimes, you know, you think like, oh, well, that'll be on the, you know, maybe the street, the ones that are really popular. No, sometimes you watch content with like 2,000, 3,000, maybe 4,000 views, and it's like 10 adverts on a 10-minute video. It's like, oh, come on, this isn't right, is it? This is not how it shouldn't be. I'm not saying adverts shouldn't be on YouTube, because, you know, they make money for people, and they make money for YouTube. Fine, you know, I get it. We live in a, you know, we live in a society, capitalist society. That's fine. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, 10 adverts on a 10-minute video is just, that's not acceptable, is it? Really, it's just, for me anyway, it's not acceptable.
I don't know if it's the same for you guys, but whenever I see a situation like that and a creator has that many ads or something's around that many ads, you start to think about them a little bit less and you stop watching their content anywhere near as much.
Yeah.
Or if you were checking them out for the first time, it's like, okay, dude, fun video. See you never.
Yeah, it depends usually for me. It depends on how many ads, because obviously people are trying to make money off it, which is fine. I don't mind about that. But if I do jump onto a video and there's like 10 ads in a 10-minute video, I don't really hold it against the person, but I just think I'm not watching that because I can't be arsed skipping ads every time it comes up.
What I've started doing now is, which I don't like doing this, but I feel like I have to, is I automatically look to the how many of them little yellow bars there is.
Well,
if there's
jump
more
off.
Than about three or four, I'm like, nah, I'm not doing it, like, because it's just too much. I don't know. People say, yeah, you can skip them and all that. Yeah, you can skip some, but some of them they have to play for like 20, 30 seconds, and it's like, I don't want to sit there and do that when I could be doing other things.
Yeah,
my least favorite are the ads. They're like, you can skip this ad in 6 seconds. The ad's like 5 seconds long.
Yeah. It jumps you into the next one. Yeah, I was getting annoyed actually recently at the Google Stadia ads, man. Every video I seemed to click on of late, it was a Google Stadia advert and I couldn't skip it because I watch YouTube through my Xbox, so I don't have ad blocker, which I know some people don't like either.
The best part about that, gentlemen, is that's wasted money.
Yeah,
because nobody's checking that shit out.
No,
no one.
Oh, be careful, Joe. We said that on a clip once and we got a lot of shit.
We got a lot of hate from the Google fanboys. I'll tell you now. There's a lot of Google fanboys out there.
Oh, Google fanboys. I mean, sprinkle me with your hate, your Stadia hate. Oh, it gives me energy.
If
Stadia pulls it out, like, after all of this, it will be the greatest comeback story that universe has ever known.
Yeah.
We will, as a species, be able to do anything. If Stadia can make it back after all of this.
I've got to say, like you said, Lee, we got so much hate for that video. Like, that was weird about it. And I honestly, and maybe we were quite harsh, but at the end of the day, I think we've been proven right. It's been an absolute failure. And look, it's Google. Maybe they'll pump loads of money behind it and improve it, but I don't know.
They need to change the model of the business so far, which doesn't look like they're going to do.
It reminds me of Anthem. I mean, we another video where we got a lot of stick from Anthem, didn't we? People saying, it's not a Destiny clone. It's definitely not. It's great. The game's fun. It's like, we were like, this game is not going to be good. The writing's on the wall with the game. And people just didn't believe us at first, did they? They just, in the comments.
Well, I'd say that we...
What talking about.
We didn't outright say the game's not going to be good. We said we were worried about what we've seen so far.
The writing, I think, was on the wall with that game pretty early on. I mean,
Yeah, I started really losing faith when I tried playing the VIP demo thing.
Yeah, you played the demo, didn't you?
Oh, Jesus Christ, that was shit. So I was just like, nah, I'm done. Yeah. Done. And I even got Anthem to try it because I thought...
Yeah, we played it
after
for
I calmed
hours.
Down. Yeah, after I calmed down for a bit, I was like, okay, it's BioWare. I'm going to give him a chance.
Such a lifeless game. Yeah. That's the word I'd use to describe it, lifeless.
I'd definitely say it's good. I remember watching the entire like set of cutscenes. Obviously, I never got into it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was super interesting, but at first I thought it was super interesting. Let me clarify. But as I continued to watch more, it just kind of sapped more and more life out of it until eventually I was like, I'll watch it die. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I've got to say the hub world is one of the worst hub worlds. I mean, you can attest to this, can't you? Like the most lifeless, boring... Yeah. Pathetic hub world I've ever seen in a game.
It was just
like,
really disappointing.
It's annoying because
it's always the worst. Like, it'd be fine if it's just like this game you knew was going to be garbage. Was anybody upset about Fast and Furious Crossroads this year?
Was anybody? No, because everyone knew that was going to be. Yeah, it's
Vin Diesel might have been.
Yeah, he probably was.
Sure, he was. But
it's a good point.
That's the thing. You know, Anthem did have potential. And you get angry more at the games. I don't know about you, same with you and you two, actually, both of you, but I get more angry at games that I know have potential that are bad than games that I know are going to be bad anyway. Yeah. Because it's always a missed opportunity. You know, Anthem could have been a great game, but something went wrong in development.
Hmm.
And, you know, we did a video, didn't we, on the Jason Schreier article.
I mean,
horrendous, some of the things that were coming out of the studio. So it's no surprise the game wasn't great. in the end. But it's a disappointment because I thought some of the aspect, the gameplay actually was all right. Like some of the gameplay, you know, the flying was pretty good. Gunplay wasn't too bad, so it had potential, but
the rest just had nothing, man. Like you mentioned, it was very empty. Very empty, very disappointing.
It wasn't good.
No, it wasn't. But taking it back to Twitch then, what do we think? Do we think that this is going to get resolved in the content creators' favours? Because I personally am worried they won't.
It's hard to say right now, isn't it? Because it's very hard to know which way the wind's going to blow with this, because who's going to win out? Is it going to be the streamers that win out, or are Twitch going to win out and people are just going to have to put up with it? It's right now, I don't think you can say who's going to win.
The pessimistic in me is wanting to go, this is the world right now. This mm-hmm. is how things are changing. Deal with it. If you don't deal with it, you are going to sink. I feel like this is a little too drastic for Twitch not to figure something out. Because, I mean, imagine how much negative clout that's going to leave if another viable streaming platform does come up. Because, I mean, you do have so many, but none of them really rival Twitch. But if one comes around and he's like, well, here we might be able to actually play some video games with music and sound effects. You remember those days? That was interesting, right? I think Twitch is going to have to do something. And I'm definitely, as I was mentioning earlier, I'm definitely not the type of person who likes to talk negatively about something, like they should do something, and then just never bring up like potential options they should do. So I actually wrote down what I thought would be a very good option for them. Okay, so Twitch is obviously owned by Amazon. Amazon also already has a music streaming service, Amazon Music. I don't know if either of you are familiar with it. It's basically Blue Spotify.
Yeah.
The thing I like most about Amazon Music is the fact that so much of the music is ultra high definition. I'm an audiophile, so I love like hearing the extra crisp music. But here's what they could do as a whole for music. It sends money to the artists and musicians. It sends money to Twitch, and streamers can listen to whatever they want. They don't have to mute themselves. They don't have to do anything. They just have to pay a little bit off the top, and they can do whatever they want. So here's what they do. So Amazon can make a tier, basically, like, you know, they have like a single plan, a family plan, and then they have something called a streamer plan. Now, for say like $10 more a month, you have access to any of the songs that Twitch has already licensed out. They strike new deals up with any artists, any labels that might be on their program. Say, hey, do you want to be part of this program? Either opt in or opt out. If they opt in, any songs will have a little icon the same way they would have HD or UH or anyways, which would basically make them streamer friendly.
Right.
So when you have this set up on your account that you have the streamer friendly account, you basically flip a switch and that says you're in streamer mode. So whenever you're in streamer mode, you can only play these songs. But it's things that you would want to listen to in your normal time, stuff that you know your friends or your viewers would want to watch. So say if you want to play Knights of Cydonia by Muse and they happen to have agreed to this, they opted in, you can listen to that. So that way, any artists that you listen to, it can be cut up between all the artists that you listen to. So say you listen to 100 artists and that service is $10. Maybe they make 9 cents, 8 cents off the top just from you listening. But with so many streamers, that's so much money.
Yeah, it's up so quickly.
Amazon's getting more money. Artists are getting more money. And streamers just have to pay a little bit more and they don't have to worry about it.
It makes logical sense. I wonder what the reaction would be, though, of streamers to maybe having to...
I'm pretty sure most streamers would be vehemently for it.
It does look like a good idea. I mean, it would be a greedy way of going about it from Twitch's point of view, but, you know, these companies are greedy, so, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if actually something like this maybe did happen. I mean, you know, it's possible. And maybe this is what it's all leading up to.
I would like to think they would probably take a little bit to get it, like, fully in action if this were a route they wanted to take. That's a lot of people that they have to get in touch with. But I imagine most of these places have business emails. If they just send it to whatever the music was licensed through, I imagine they would get a lot of yeses or nos pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And then you would have a list of, say, 10,000 songs ready to go. I mean, you got to imagine most of these bigger labels are going to answer like right away. You know, your Taylor Swift's, your Metallica's, bands and artists and musicians like these are probably going to be pretty quick to opt in or opt out. So you'll have your answer pretty quickly.
I bet there is a load of artists out there as well who are not even that fussed. They're like, oh yeah, cool, that's free advertisement, play it. But it's not even them, it's their record labels and stuff like that that basically own most of their property. They're going to be like, no, we want money from that. Because obviously they're a business and that is just the way they're going to go about it. But that is one option that they could look to go down, and it would make sense from Twitch's point of view, being owned by Amazon and having access to that anyway, that sort of the streaming service for the music. So
yeah, that definitely is one way. They have rights to the licenses already. It's just a matter of sweetening the pot for those artists. So it's like, hey, look, you know, our streamers like your content. They like your content so much they want to share it with other people.
Yeah.
Now for this little bit extra a month, these people want to pay this money that goes partly to you to put your stuff in their streams. They're not stealing it. They just want to use it as background noise. And if somebody asks, the thing's going to be right there to show them what it was. The same way if you were watching a specific game, hey, what's that game? I'll just look down there. It's in the description.
Yeah. Yeah, that is definitely one option. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do, which route they do end up going down. I think a lot of Twitch streamers are very going to be watching keenly as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm fortunate enough that Streamlabs exists, and I don't have to worry as much about that. And any games that I have, I'm going to have muted. For the meantime, it's not viable. It doesn't work that well. I just got off a Bloodborne stream, and the music in Bloodborne is so incredible. So I have to force people watching my stream to miss out on that. But if it's the difference between me streaming and me not streaming, it's the easiest decision I've ever made.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, it's just a shame because ultimately the experience obviously is downgraded a little bit.
There's got to be some solution to this that's actually, you know, doesn't involve greed to me. I mean, I don't know, I'm probably just being unrealistic, you know, it's the way the world works, I understand, but it's such a shame, isn't it? Because, you know, Twitch has built an amazing platform, and I'd hate to see it just completely, you know, die. I mean, I know it's not going to completely die, but I'd hate to see it be tarnished like this, because it's just it just doesn't set a good tone in the industry, really, for me.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think it's less about whether or not they're greedy and more about how can we make this a good deal for everyone? Because if you're like, you know, if you just expect people just to come over with, hey, come on, man. As opposed to, hey, what if I turn this bad situation for a few people and turn it into a good situation for everybody? I feel like a lot of people are going to be more receptive to that, especially if it concerns money.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you weren't making money, but what if I can turn this situation into you not making money into you making money? Especially with something like the music industry, when there's so many indie artists coming out. I mean, the majority of what I listen to, people produce themselves. So like having a way for the music industry to, if this went right, this could technically revitalize the music industry. And we could have a totally different music industry from what we're all familiar with.
Yeah. And it's definitely going to be interesting to see how it all plays out, that is for sure. But that's probably a good place to end the podcast today. And we thank Gerber for joining us. Where can people find you, mate, if they want to watch you stream on Twitch?
Hey guys. So I stream mostly on Twitch, JerBear7. I also have archives on YouTube as JerBear. I'm all over the internet, Instagram, Twitter. It's either JerBear, JerBear7, or JerBear7th. Any of those variations, they'll be in the description. Guys, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yeah,
no worries. Great.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it.
It's been great having you.
Good discussion.
Yeah. Good. Been a great chat. And like Jer's mentioned, I will put everything in the description below, so definitely go and check him out for sure. And if you are watching us on YouTube, please like and subscribe to the channel, and also leave comments on your thoughts on what we've covered today, as that'll help this channel to grow. And if you are listening to us on any audio platforms, please leave us a nice review and pass on the pod. You can also follow the podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at JetReachPod. And you can follow me and Sud on social media. Where can people find you, mate?
So for me, it's just Twitter at David10Spud.
Lovely stuff. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Leld, L-E-L-3-D's, add a 9 in the end for Instagram. But anyway, once again, thanks, Jer, for joining us. We really appreciated that, mate. Great chat. And we'll be back next week to discuss some more gaming news. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.